and Fish Department for our monthly update from the Game and Fish Director. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm quite well, Duke, and I trust you and your listeners are as well.
Yeah, I'm doing great. Appreciate your time as always. A couple of big things to chat about this morning, Director. And first, wanted to talk about the recent study released on the Wyoming Range mule deer population. And you and I have discussed at length previously how difficult last winter was, the 22-23 winter, and these numbers really confirm that it was a rough go.
Yeah, it's obviously very ugly to look at. It's not a surprise, but it's certainly not good news. We haven't seen that sharp of a decline, that many, losing that many deer in that short of a period since back in, I think, in 91 to 93, there was a drop that was similar. But this is definitely the lowest number of deer total population estimate that we've seen ever since we've been measuring the population, down around 11,000.
So, yeah, and dropping from 30,000 to 11,000. So we're talking a 2/3 loss. And, I look at this report, and one of the big glaring things is the doe to fawn ratio at its lowest since, 1982? So what does that mean for the future of this herd? I mean, is there a rebound option here? What do you think?
Yeah, there's absolutely in fact, all the conditions are in place for as quick of a rebound as you can have with those kind of numbers. But that fawn ratio is not surprising, because the deer were in such poor shape last year coming out of winter that we knew those deer that had fawns were not going to be able to nurse them to be recruited into the population. And so, it's a low number, but those deer that are out there, and those does that are still alive, are in really good shape this year. We've measured the highest amount of fat that we've ever measured on deer this winter, and so we know they're in good shape. They're not competing with a lot of other deer for the resources that are available. And last summer was a really good summer, so the conditions are right. But it's going to take, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take 3 to 5 years, I think, for us to get back to where we were before all this happened.
What role does the Game and Fish play in helping this herd rebound? I mean, obviously you want to do what you can, but a lot of it is up to Mother Nature and just the elements, right? What role will the Game and Fish provide?
Well, number one, it's important for us to know at what rate the population's recovering, because people are interested in that. So we're going to continue to monitor closely. Obviously, a lot of the work that's going to help us through this was already done. And that's when, habitat work and improving those mule deer habitats, both on the transitional ranges and the winter ranges, are investments we made years ago to help us when something like this happens. The other thing, that's very short term, and it's really difficult to measure, but we are going to target some predator control and coyote removal around fawning areas. Like I said, the effect of that's not really able to be measured very well, but we know that there's a potential for that to have some help with fawns that are born this year. Once they're beyond being fawns, they're not as susceptible anymore to at least coyote predation. So, those are some things. And then obviously, we're going to have to look at how, there's not going to be any female harvest in this population. There hasn't been for a very long time, but buck harvest, we'll have to watch. That doesn't really affect the population growth, but it certainly affects the sportsman experience. And so we'll be watching that too, and doing like we normally do with setting reasonable seasons as this thing recovers.
So I'm a Game and Fish Director Brian Nesvik with us live this morning on the SVI Radio Network. Director, let's talk about the elk feed grounds. And recently released was the study and the results of the findings that the Game and Fish has been working on for quite a while on the future management of elk feed grounds across the state and all the feed grounds. And this has been a long-term discussion. Tell us the latest on what the plan is here, maybe some of the highlights of that plan that was released.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's going to go to our commission. We're going to ask for their approval in March. We did an initial release of this back in July, received a lot of public comment, and made a lot of modifications based on that public comment. But here's the highlights. It really gives some unified direction to the department to look on a feed ground by feed ground basis and develop a long-term plan, knowing that we've got you know, we're facing new issues in Western Wyoming with a disease that we haven't had to deal with in the past with CWD, and knowing that we've also got, you know, a lot of our feed grounds rely on others to permit us to use them. And so this plan tells our managers to go work with the public and stakeholders at the feed ground by feed ground basis and develop a long-term plan. And whatever actions that end up in these feed ground management plans have to fall within a set of sideboards that are identified in the plan, and that those sideboards are continuing to prevent commingling between elk and cattle to reduce disease transmission, preventing elk from doing damage to private property, providing hunting opportunity, and then also minimizing competition with other species like mule deer. And so that's the gist of the plan. It's I think our folks have done a really good job of trying to balance all the stakeholder interests and respond to what we've heard from the public on this. And I think that the commission's going to look favorably on it and approve it.
So, Director, you look at one of the more prominent elk feed grounds in our listening area would be the Alpine feed ground. People drive by it all the time. It's right outside of town. People always see the elk there and the feeding that takes place. Of course, you got to look at it individually. So I realize maybe not a lot has been discussed per each one, but the general public, will they see any changes from maybe when you look at something like the Alpine feed ground?
You know, I wouldn't want to comment specifically on Alpine, but on any feed ground, there could be some changes, but this plan really contemplates the very long term. So changes over decades rather than over years. And that's actually been the case since feed grounds were first started in Wyoming. We've done things like change the way we feed to low density feeding. You know, a lot of feed grounds have had, we've shortened up the dates, and so they start feeding later and end feeding earlier. We've actually eliminated a lot of, since over the last 100 years, there's been a lot of feed grounds that were there that aren't there anymore. This plan doesn't direct or mandate any kind of feed ground closures, but it does look at ways to reduce our reliance on supplemental feeding while we still meet all those sideboards. As far as Alpine, I don't know specifically, but that's something every feed ground is going to get evaluated.
Director Brian Nesbitt, Wyoming Game and Fish. Director, anything else you wanted to mention while we have you on the air today?
Well, you know, I can tell you what's on my mind, and that's that we're getting, I think it looks like anyway, an early spring across most of the state. Looks like maybe not in Jackson, but you know, it's time for folks to start thinking about spring fishing. It's some of the best fishing in Wyoming is in the spring. And then also, folks, don't forget to start thinking about your applications for big game seasons for next year. Those are due at the end of May, so still plenty of time, but don't want to forget either. So
absolutely. Well, Director, as always, appreciate your time. Thank you very much.